What's up, After Buzzers? It's our favorite time of week. It's This Is Us time. We are talking all about episode 13, Our Little Island Girl. You guys have been asking, and they finally answered. We are getting our backstory to Beth. So you're going to get to meet little Beth, teenage Beth, and obviously get to see more about Beth and her relationship with her mom. And we have a special guest you can thank for a lot of your favorite characters. So stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a new, I'm still adjusting to like the opening song again. I'm so used to our picks for This Is Us. What's up, everyone? What's I am up? So excited to be here for tonight because this is one of the long anticipated episodes we've all been asking for. We've fallen in love with Beth. Now we finally get to know more about Beth and all of her backstory and get to see a little bit of Zoe's backstory, too.
Yes.
So we'll introduce ourselves first before we introduce our lovely guest that's sitting on the couch. My name is Candace Cruz.
What's up, my beautiful people? Danny Royce here.
Hey, guys. I'm Lena Nori.
Hey, guys. You know me. I'm Paris Rose.
And we have our first guest of This Is Us, Josh Eisen. Yay! He is one of the casting directors for This Is Us, so he is one of the amazing people to thank for all of your favorite characters.
Oh, my God.
I'm thanking the writers for the characters that they write. It's amazing that we get to cast these characters. Yeah. It's such a privilege. And thank you guys for having me. Nobody ever thinks about the casting process.
Yeah.
They just sort of assume it just magically happens somehow. So I'm really grateful to you guys to want to talk about casting, so thank you.
Yeah, and you had a little bit of magic for this particular episode, which we'll talk a little bit more when we get to Teenage Beth, but I know that there was a lot of a process going into finding our perfect Beth.
Yeah.
For a little bit. So chime in throughout the conversations, because obviously you're a fan of the show as well.
Oh, totally.
But no, I feel like
you have to be by casting. You really have to have that detail.
I mean, any show that you work on, you kind of learn to fall in love with a little bit. This one was incredibly easy.
Yeah.
Like from the moment, like the pilot was done, cast by Tiffany Little Canfield and Bernie Telsey, and they brought me in to start on episode 2. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure what we were doing, and, you know, it was family drama. I wasn't sure where it was going, and then I read the first script before I could even see it, and I got to the same place everybody else did with the script. I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing.
Yes.
And feel free to tell us more, please. Like, things that haven't premiered yet, feel free to give us the insider scoop.
No. Nobody actually really wants to know that.
Yes, we do.
Everybody says they
don't. I really don't.
Remember, all said we wanted to know how Jack dies, and then Jack died, and we're like, we didn't need to know how he died. Like, we could have gone without that.
We actually didn't know. There's a story. I had heard whisperings, but they really only tell people what they need to know to do the job. They keep it very compartmentalized. And then they brought all the department heads into a room, closed the door, passed out the script, and we shot out of order too. So I didn't know about
pot cracker thing.
Yeah, the slow cooker. That's the
slow cooker.
Exactly. And so I didn't even know that was happening. And all of a sudden, I'm there, and I'm in the room, and we got the script, and I open it up, and there's a fire, and then there's Kate, and then there's the thing in the smoke, and like we're all crying. They had to go get Kleenex, bring it into the room, and we're all going, okay, so what do you need for the doctor? Trying to do our jobs while we're getting what's happening to Jack. It was devastating.
Were you watching that scene with Jack and Rebecca? Because she said in an interview that she didn't know that was going to happen. She did in the first take. Were you watching it live?
No, I was not on set that day. Mm. I did not. No, that was a very close
That's
set.
That's a good story.
But no, I heard the story later. I thought that was whatever. The writing on this show is so next level.
Yes.
Because it's so real and so well done. And it makes it so easy for the actors to play and for actors to want to come and play.
Yeah.
Because the writing is just so delicious and never forced.
Right.
I feel like that's such an actor's like favorite call, saying they want you to come in and read for This Is Us, and everybody's like, yes, I'll be there.
Oh,
whatever you need.
The writing, the writing's you are in the writing room a lot, right? In the writer's room? Because I see on like your social media that you're in there sometimes. Or...
We've had one table read, and I got to be in on that.
Okay.
No, I'm part of the concept meetings, which is when all the department heads come together. Mm-hmm. And we all talk about, we go through page by page, scene by scene, we talk about what we need for the episode. from pops, props to post to us and costumes and whatever. And everybody's very precise, like the amount of detail.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nobody, it's never just good enough on this show. Everybody wants it to be perfect.
Right.
So we go through the scripts. But no, the writer's room, I'm actually.
And then,
no, because then I would know stuff.
Right.
they don't tell me that
you
stuff.
You might tell
you
somebody.
You participate in like the table reads and things like that? Or
yeah, we've only had one since I started on the show. They're usually trying to coordinate that many of the series regulars in one place at one time is too hard because too many of them are needed on the set. So a few weeks ago, we had one for an episode that's coming up in a few weeks that is just a delicious script.
So good. And this was a delicious episode because we have been longing for this. And we're going to kind of break it up by like Baby Beth and Teen Beth.
Baby Beth.
She is adorable. Like such a little gift and a little gem to see her and the very beginning formulative moments of her and her mom to see like the struggle between their relationship. And then obviously Teen Beth and finding out more about her dance background. And then we'll break it down into Adult Beth, her relationship with her mom. And then we'll go into some more questions throughout the entire episode. but I loved Baby Beth and like figuring out like that she is a dancer. She realizes her talent and then really begging her parents to go to
I loved how her father was like so like supportive, and but then we get a lot of Felicia's character in the household, you know, that kind of stumpers or what's the word I'm looking for, like dampers someone's dream because it's not really going to be as successful as they believe it would be, you know, and so
it's illogical.
There's logical, so. It was kind of hurt to see that because I can relate to that a little bit, and just like Beth, I wish she just went for it.
It was surprising to see Beth be a timid Beth.
Yeah,
we're used to strong Beth, and so I thought it was perfect that with this new timid Beth for all of us was that she's actually Bethany. I think Bethany worked for timid Beth, so I liked seeing that. I also like to see their cute relationship with young Beth and her father, because it's like, oh, my mom's this monster, strict monster, but then there's like, I mean, in the kid's mind, it's like she's a strict monster, doesn't let me do anything, and then it's like, but Dad will wink at me, or Dad always has my back, and I really like to see that.
Yeah, I like that.
And I mean, I think everybody has those moments when you talk to your parents and you become this little kid again.
Yeah.
And I think we obviously saw, like, our Beth that we know kind of turn back into that little girl again when she saw her mom, and we see what, like, stimulated that.
Yeah.
And to see her dad, which you were really excited about the casting of the dad.
I'm super excited. So I'm Jamaican, and a lot of the times when there are Jamaicans in movies or TV shows, they are not. And they have terrible accents. But this guy, Carl Lumley, is actually Jamaican, and he was so perfect. He was the essence of a Jamaican father, so I was very happy.
Can you touch a little bit on that, Josh, how you found Carl and all that?
Yeah, that one happened incredibly easily. We had our concept meeting, and we had all talked about it and saw what the character needed to be, and they like to throw challenges our way.
Of course, always.
Okay, great. This is going to be a small pool to pull from. But by the time I left our production office and got back to my office, there was an email from one of our producers, Kay, and she said, here are a few actors I know of, and I saw Carl on it. Mm. And then I did some research, and I found some more choices to present to the producers. But, I mean, I was like, please just pick Carl. Because I have been such a fan for so long of his, and actually did not know that he was Jamaican until I got that email and was so excited because he's just fantastic. Mm. And immediately we sent it to all the producers and immediately started getting emails back on Carl. I'm like, oh. And he was available and wanted to come and play. So that was really exciting.
That's awesome.
For us.
And to see him, like, you got a relationship with him very quickly. Yes. Like, almost to the element of, like, the relationship that we fell in love with William and we fell in love with Jack. Like, mm-hmm. these father figures that you just, like, want to hug. Yeah. That even, obviously, you guys watch episodes, it's not a spoiler. But when he, you know, reveals to teenage Bethany that he has cancer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, you automatically just, like, start crying. We were both sobbing watching it. We were just like, no.
Like, really, like, not like,
yeah, just
like rolling. But I guess we jumped a little bit forward for that. But just a little bit. But to see the relationship blossom with, like, baby Bethany, I'm just gonna call her that
because
I
think Bethany.
She's adorable. With her dad, and like her dad really, like, will make it work.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen those conversations. I don't know about you guys, but I could relate to it so much because, like, I've wanted to be a performer all my life, and my parents aren't from the best background. You know, we never had a lot of money. We always, like, made ends meet. Yeah. And so I've seen my parents go, like, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it happen. But you have to just, like, dedicate your life to it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put everything in it. And she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos, little one.
So I have a question when it comes to casting, right? We just talked about how you found the man that plays Beth's father. So when you're finding mini Beth, yes, or like mid-age Beth, or then Beth, how much more difficult is it? Do you already have, like, a concept in your head of they have to look like her? Like, what percentage do you give to looking like them /
acting like them?
We've gotten better at it as the show has. Well, I don't know. I think we've done well since.
No, you guys have done really well. In terms of, little and medium threes are awesome.
They're great, but, like, it took us longer to figure out how to get to them, if that makes sense. And now that we've been doing it for a few years, we're much quicker at getting, okay, this is what the qualities we're looking for. It's not just the look, although I think the looks for these girls were great, especially Rachel. And then they added, did you notice that they added, they had contacts and they added a little freckle in her eye too.
Yeah.
I thought that was that's the kind of detail that the show that, like, most people don't notice.
Yeah, yeah.
For a split second, I was like, how did they find a girl that had a freckle?
That's what I thought. Well, of course, everybody made that joke with, and they're like, oh, and by the way, Josh.
So do you do, like, a casting notice, or do you guys actively go searching from, like, a database of actors that you know?
We put out a casting notice. And for this one, they actually let us put out what the role was, because they've been talking for a while saying that they were going to be having a Beth episode. Sometimes we have to do it in secret, and we put out stuff and it's super broad because we can't say who we're looking for, and then it's just harder because you're really looking for a needle in a haystack at that point. But for this one, they said yes. They know it's coming. It's okay to go ahead and look for it. So the agents and manager submitted, and we had a few girls come in, but Akira was just, to me, she was just so fantastic in other way.
Yeah,
energy,
she was amazing.
Looked like her. And then the search for teen Beth was a little harder to get the exact right girl. Because on that one, we needed somebody. Because once you get to the teen years, they've got it. Like you were talking about, like, there's enough of the essence of Susan there.
Right.
Yeah.
That we really need them to feel like her and not just look like her. And to find somebody who really had both was hard, and I was really, there was a minute there where I'm like, and we're not gonna get it. Like, we've seen some incredibly talented girls, but who just didn't quite feel Susan-esque. And then Rachel walked in the door.
Right.
And that was the email that I sent to the producers. I sent a link to her audition, and I said, and sometimes it just walks in the door.
You're like, she's here.
And, oh, thank God. And she was great.
Right. Yeah.
And very special. So, yeah, very happy that she walked through the door.
Because I'm assuming, and I mean, obviously you can't tell us, I'm assuming the way that This Is Us goes, we're going to be seeing a lot more of her now that we, at the end of the episode, see teenage Beth and Randall bump into each other.
I would assume.
I would assume.
Like I said, they don't tell me nothing. And I'll ask, and they'll be like,
I've been waiting for this episode for a very long time. I was like, well, why is Beth the way she is? Why is Zoe the way she is? What was it about the teen Beth walking through the door? What was it about her that kind of just struck you and said, that's her?
Well, in addition to the look just being fantastic, she has inherently, just when you talk to her, like, out of character. She's from New York and has just a little bit of that East Coast bite that Susan has, even when she talks. Like, when when Susan's not putting on Beth, but when she's just talking. Mm-hmm. And to just hear that, like, it was there inherently already, and then to know that, like, oh, that's just a small leap to make.
Yeah.
That having that energy, and especially because, like you were talking about, there's a transition between young Beth and older Beth, and she really straddles the middle.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. she was able to play the delicate and the wounded and the quiet,
yeah.
and then you watched her get strong
yes.
to,
yes.
to have that as well. And
it was that was awesome.
She got a new hairstyle.
I know. I'm so yes. proud of her.
A new name, just
right.
Beth.
Beth.
Right. Done. Like, you even see it in the dancing room, like when yeah. they're in the dance studio, where you can just see that hardened of, like, watching someone else that's filling in her role that she knew was very specific, that they've been honing her to do oh, her yeah. entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you really see that switch of, like, no, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
Like, I see it happening, but it can't happen.
Yeah.
But you know what else I do want to hop on over before yes. we continue on talking about? We are very lucky to be able to have you here and to yes. be talking about This Is Us and to be on AfterBuzz. So tell us a little bit more, Paris.
Yes, as Candace was saying.
Oh, we're going to go on this accent too.
We're seasoned. Okay. We're seasoned.
Sure.
No, but before we get on to our next topic, we do want to say how grateful we are that we have all of you guys making us the ESPN of TV talk. But you guys got to make sure you... He's excited. You guys should be excited, and you got to subscribe. You got to subscribe so you know when we have another episode coming out. You can join us, join the conversation, and make sure you give us those 5 stars on iTunes. We're on Spotify. Check us out.
Yes.
We're everywhere. If you don't want mm-hmm. to, if you want to see us visually, you can just hear us on our podcast.
Exactly.
But everyone wants to see us.
5 stars.
Of course.
I mean, granted, we do have great voices, though.
Of course.
True.
Very soon. Very soon.
Not all of us.
What?
Yeah,
what? I love your voice. Yeah.
So is mine.
It's got that rasp.
You're offended.
Yeah,
I was talking
rasp.
About myself.
Yeah,
it's
a
rasp.
It's cute.
I was like, are you sick? I'm like...
I get that too. I
actually
you.
Get that too. It's See, we're all raspy women.
You guys are not watching an episode right. of The Voice? No, I'm sure. All
right. It's funny. When I asked the producers if I could come on the show, I was like, hey, is this okay? And they're like, well, we'd like to see 4 other options, and then there's going to be a chemistry read to see who's going to play you.
No.
And I'm like, can it be Justin?
Yes.
Because in my head.
I see the resemblance. Right,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I do.
Get mistaken all the time.
I mean, yes. And the essence, all of it. It's mm-hmm. right there.
Everything.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all. I was going to say thank you guys. Leave us comments. Help us out. We were also just talking about how you guys helped us out with the age thing.
I was literally
yeah.
about to
so.
Yes. Yes.
You guys do the comments. And you even said that you. I did mess up. I messed up, guys. I will admit it, with the ages. I was yeah. a little off. A lot off.
Forget you.
So going back to the minis, the mediums, and then the older ones. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have it where you have them grouped together to kind of have like a bonding moment to like understand the characters better? Because from what I've noticed, they take the little ones on the red carpets. They have such good like chemistry and bonds. Is that something that casting requests is for them to spend time together?
No, we're looking for the essence just to be as much there as it can be. And then when we send them off to set, it's sort of up to the producers and the actors how they want to handle it a little bit. Like, I remember season 1, Niles didn't want to spend time with Sterling. He wanted to come at Randall without that.
I know
initially, eventually they bonded and hung out. But, like, initially he wanted to sort of do that on his own. So I think every one of them has their own process.
Yeah,
how they meet and spend time with each other.
They mentioned, like, you know, at the screening that Team Beth actually, like, studied Susan and, you know, and her movements and all that stuff. So that was awesome hearing that. It's just like kudos to the craft.
Yeah.
Speaking of Team Beth, how did you guys feel about this new Team Beth and seeing her? Is it what you expected? We've been waiting for this so long, so I want to know your thoughts.
That's true.
I mean, I kudos to her because she did carry over, like we were talking about, the delicateness. And it was really... nice to see the vulnerable side of Beth that we've started to see anyway, that she's been taking those layers off with losing her job and then with Randall and the argument between whether or not he should run for office. But it was nice to see that there is that vulnerability under there and where it comes from, because I feel like as we grow older, we put these shells of armor on.
Mm-hmm.
And because of every hardship that we deal with, we learn how to, like, okay, when this comes at me, I know how to deal with this so that I don't get hurt. So we got to see where that hurt started from. Mm-hmm. And like, we get to see a little bit of Zoe as well and see that relationship, and see like how hard her mom really is on her. Yeah. Cause I mean, I get it. Like, we all have that one parent that's harder on us than the other that always wants the best for us, but sometimes their intentions aren't delivered the best way possible.
Right.
I was so sorry. I just want to say something because you just said it about the shells. So I've always said this. I talk about this on my Instagram too, is there's a quote that I love. It says, sometimes it's not about becoming something. It's about unbecoming. Mm-hmm. So what we see is that little Beth is truly Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see in the flash forward, she wants to go back to being in ballet. And then mm-hmm. we saw the way fast forward is she's a ballet teacher. Is that little girl, they say that developmentally, you're exactly who you're meant to be personality-wise and brain functioning-wise by like something like 6 or 8, something
five.
So young.
Yeah. 5 to 8 is your formative
years. In terms of like your actual personality coming through mm-hmm. is like 6 to 8. And so this is Beth.
Yeah.
And what we see in teen Beth is actually either experiences with their mom, experiences in life, whether
everything.
It's dating, finances, school, just interactions with people, you become harder and harder. And so when you get to that point where you want to grow as a person, it's actually not about becoming someone different. It's about unbecoming everything that's hardened you
mm-hmm.
to being that true self of who you were as a child.
Very true.
I agree.
So that's, like, to sum up, I understood that quote for the first time when I saw this episode. I'm like,
yeah.
That is what it is. Beth is unbecoming everything she's become through her life experiences.
And right. Ballet is a hard field to be in. I've always heard from anyone that's a dancer, especially ballerina, there's such an element of discipline in there.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the topic of her being the only Black ballerina that was there, which we've obviously seen now. Missy Copeland is one of the most famous African-American ballet dancers, and a lot of other people have followed in her footsteps or are now getting the recognition because of her. So it's very timely, I feel like, to be able to see that.
Oh, yeah. I personally love that they highlighted that aspect of being a Black girl growing up, because there can't be two. It's like, as soon as the Black girl walks in, she knows that's my competition.
Token.
Yeah. There can only be one, so she knows it's either me or her, and it ends up being the other girl. But it's just it's so heartbreaking.
It is.
Because if it's another white girl walked in, it's not like, oh, God, it's me or all the other white girls. It can only be one token Black girl, always.
I was literally about to say, like, she's the token, for that.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I think that's in anything. Like, when you know that you have a special skill or talent or makes you different, like, you become the token.
Yeah.
And then when someone else similar to you comes back in, you're like, wait a second, I thought that was the only one here.
It's like, hold on.
No. But also, I did find it interesting when she was doing her twirls, and because of body development, too, which was another topic I really liked.
Yes, that was great.
That they tapped into.
Right, because, you know, Black women have a little different, makeup, genetics, and all that. It was definitely interesting how they threw that into the episode, and just her becoming a woman and growing into her adolescence and all that. Mm-hmm. It just changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
And going back to that, Felicia, her mother, I love how they brought what she's been through as well, because it brought it made her, you know, act towards Beth in a certain way because of how her mother was. Yeah. So it's like unbecoming, as you were talking about. And so I love how Beth is working to unbecome. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't. They just get stuck in where they are, and they're just like, okay, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to be. But, yeah, I love how Beth is really starting to push herself and go back to ballet full circle. Yeah.
Josh, what'd you think?
About that part of the story?
Just in general.
I loved how they told it. And they talked about body image and movement and for Beth and how that would play into it. That was part of our creative conversation going into it. Yeah. And the tokenism and all that kind of stuff. They were very aware of that when they were writing the episode and while we were casting it. So it was really, it's cool to hear you all talking about this stuff and be like, oh my God, it worked. Like, they picked up on, it's not like they didn't hit you over the head with it, but yeah, it was, I thought, beautifully and powerfully done.
Oh, yeah.
It was so tasteful, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, there was that moment when, I can't remember the character, the other one, the not Beth, turned around and looked right at
her.
Right.
Like,
because they both had that moment. They both knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with everything else that was going on with Beth in that moment, it was just... Yeah. That was a hard...
So when you guys have these topics, right, like how you just said you guys want to talk about... body shape, we've always said in every episode now for 3 seasons, you guys, there's like not a single social ethnic, any kind of topic you guys don't bring up.
Right.
Do you guys do, so when you guys bring it up, obviously you know that you guys were talking about like body image in this episode. Do you guys do like research into it to make sure you hit it correctly? Because, you know, the viewers are, you know, can kind of be very passionate about the topic. So do you guys do research into it before you guys get into the episode?
It depends on what the role is. Usually it's what the writers have written and then we just cast it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, we're not that part of the development process. Mm-hmm. Like, I just overhear it sometimes. Yeah. So then I get to sort of have a window into what they're talking about. Yeah, I know people are very passionate about everything on the show, which I love working on a show that people care that much about. Interestingly, like, sort of a side note, but I find that the show is such a Rorschach test for people's own damage and like their life and their history. And like what you were talking about, what it, how much it meant to you to see a character who's actually Jamaican playing a Jamaican character. And you know, when we were doing our Vietnam episodes, all those actors and the background actors were all Vietnamese. And the detail that we brought to that, because we know that most of the people watching the show, it's not going to matter. But for the people who do, it's going to matter so much.
I just got chills.
It's literally those episodes were really
cathartic for a lot of people.
To have to cast. Very sad. But I mean, we try to get it right. And then just knowing full well, everybody will have their own experience. The way people react to the different characters. Some are so excited for Kate's story and some so resist it. And some, you know, so love Randall's story and some resist it. Or Kevin's alcoholism. And you can, and if I talk to somebody enough, eventually I realize, oh, this is your history, what you're bringing to it, and your filter and what you're resisting and what you're accepting. And I think it's great that the show writes something that's so archetypical in a way, that between the writing and the casting and the way they direct it, that it's, that everybody can bring their own passion to it.
Was there ever anyone that auditioned that's on This Is Us now that you all had a certain character in mind to play and then producers like, no, let's get them to do something else? Like, did you guys end up casting someone different?
I mean, there have been people that we've kept in mind and then sort of brought up later. I can't think of a specific example.
So going off of that, though, this is a little bit off of the Beth storyline. When, because it's so hush-hush, when you guys are doing the casting notices and everything, when the actors come in, are they getting a close enough script to what they're going to be reading so that you can kind of see their range of emotion? Because I know it's not the actual script, but like if someone's dying, are they giving them a similar script to like see that range of emotion? Or are you just giving them like, here's an old side, go?
No, I mean, we try to use sides. Sometimes we're able to use the actual sides. Right. Sometimes we have to use dummy sides from like an episode that's already aired with a similar character. So it's sort of the same. But there are times where we have to just walk people through
a scenario.
Okay, these words have nothing to do with the character. Yeah. Or like they told, for example, there was no script yet for two weeks ago in Songbird Road Part 1, when the mother sees her son die. But we were auditioning that months ago, and I get a phone call from one of the producers saying, yeah, we're going to need them to do a little something at the end that's, you know, like they lost a family member, at which point I realized what we're going to do, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we just cast the kid, and he's cute. So then we had to just sort of give the actors a very rough approximation. And ask,
do they even know what they're auditioning for at all when they come in?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Mm. But like, for example, the Nickies, I actually called the agent and I said, listen, there's a part, it's real good, and they should want to do it. And I can't tell you what it is.
But trust me, you want to do it.
Trust me, they want to do it. So I arranged for Michael to be on the phone with the producers and then for Griffin to be on the phone with the producers. And they walked them through it. And then they called their agents and said, yes, we want to do this part. But it's been weird. Like, I've never had a show that was this
hush,
secret before where it was hard to, I mean, thank God the show is doing well. And people do want to be on it and are willing to take the leap of faith when I'm like, no, trust me.
It's
a good part. You should just do it.
Doing well. You guys are killing it.
Right.
Just I love how humble you guys are. We're doing well.
We do okay.
It's amazing casting.
I mean, I could talk about this all day long. Right. Clearly, sure. We love
me
the show.
It's so exciting for me to get to work on a show that people are so passionate about the casting, and we try so hard to get it right. It's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, this is a little sidestep of This Is Us, but I just want to know, like, what got you into casting? Like, why did you step into it?
I was a drama major in college, but did not like the acting part. And then I took a directing class and went, oh, telling actors what to do. Yes. This I like. And actually came out to LA and was here for a while working in production and didn't quite know what I was going to do with that yet. And then I worked on a movie called Contact, and I got to know the casting directors, and they were always having fun, and they were reading the coolest people, and I was watching them help shape that cast. And then when I decided to get out of production, I went to them and asked for a job, and they gave me one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I started all over again and learned that, but just immediately fell in love with being this part of the creative process and what it means to get it right for the script and the audience and to want it to be perfect. Like the worst experiences I've ever had is when we work for, you know, a creative team where we bring in choices and they're like, yeah, they're fine. I'm like, no. Tell me you're not happy. And we'll go look until this is exactly what you want.
Right.
And to be on this show where they are that precise and they do have such a vision for it is really exciting to work that hard down to the little one and two line parts. Like the mailman from season one.
Right.
Just, you know, talk about a like five hanky moment or whatever. Like, just kill me. You know, right. Five lines, six lines.
Yeah.
What about casting Felicia? Because I know that was something that you guys had been working on for a while, right?
Love her.
Yeah, we sat down with the producers at the beginning of the season, and they told us this is going to be a storyline. By the way, if Felicia Rashad happened to be available, we'd love her to play the part. And immediately we checked, and she was not available. So we were coming up with other ideas and sort of kicking the can, and it was getting closer and closer to when we were really going to need somebody to play Beth's mom. And I'd been vamping and stalling, and like we had other ideas, but none were Felicia Rashad. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email saying, oh, she's actually going to be done with her other show early. Yes.
We will
make this work. We had to change our whole schedule to accommodate, but
that's awesome.
It's worth it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. Like she looks like Susan's mother. And she was brilliant in the episode, and she was brilliant on set. I walked on set, and I mean, it's funny that the character is so not supportive of the arts, but she was actually working with Akira on how to act, like not in a condescending way, but just sort of talking her through the scene and how to find the character and how to get from one thought to the next. And a lot of people don't take the time with kids. She just, you know, stopped everything and was walking her through that the beat. It was so beautiful to just watch her. And to watch Akira, like, you saw the light bulb turn on. And you saw her get it and how to process these beats as an actor. So to have her there bringing all that to the set. And someday Akira's going to be like, Felicia Rashad.
I was wondering, is this like a monumental moment for you yet? Or when are you going to figure out?
That's going to have to be a moment that she looks back on.
Yeah, it's like, for sure.
She's going to throw it back in the future, whatever Instagram is going to be in 20 years. She's like, that one time.
Yeah. I had a master class on This Is Us set. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, she was so lovely, and we were so lucky that the timing just barely worked out, but we made it work.
And the chemistry between her and Susan was impeccable. To see them sit at the table, I mean, what did you guys feel about that conversation hopping over to, like, when grown-up Beth?
She finally finds the courage to talk to.
Yeah.
Ooh. I thought it was, one, brave, because I totally can relate to not really, you don't want to be disrespectful, you respect your mom, you understand what she did and why she did it, but still you have this kind of resentment. So I was happy that she finally found this courage to reach out to her mother and talk to her. And that her mom actually Well, initially she didn't really take it in.
Right.
But she came back around, which I thought wasn't going to happen. Felicia has such a strong character. I can't think of her name now. As
Carol.
Carol. Mm-hmm. Such a strong mom, such a strong character. So I really didn't think she was going to come back around. Yeah. I think she thought she did the right thing, and who cares if you're sad. But yeah, it was nice.
Mm. That hurts.
I think what's more like interesting to me is we've always talked about like nurture versus nature. You either become the parent or you don't become them. Like how Randall's a lot like Jack, even though it's not his biological son. But then Kevin couldn't be the furthest. But then he has like the alcoholism like his father. So I thought it was interesting that we're looking at Beth. And as a mother, from what we've seen now three seasons in, pretty much nothing like the way her mom was with her.
I mean, I think she has some elements.
No, like some elements, but I'm talking about like the style of how she raises her daughters, like the way she speaks to them, the level of like, I'm not saying her mom didn't respect her, but she kind of like, you know, the knocking on the door, giving them boundaries, like letting them decide the way her daughter, when she came down and like, you know, explained to her parents about her situation, like, I don't know if I'm gay or not, but this is how I feel. Beth's like, Randall just, I feel like she's a lot more of... Like, not as, like, in your face.
She's more like her dad.
Controlling.
Yeah, exactly. She's a modern mom. Yeah. I think, I mean, Carol is more old school. Like, a child is just a it's just in a child's place. And I don't care what you feel. I don't care about your thoughts. But Beth's the modern mom. She wants to hear your thoughts. She wants you to be included. She cares about your feelings. That's the modern mom.
There's still some modern, very in-your-business moms. I feel like Beth wants to learn. Like, you know, sometimes you learn from your own experiences. You're like, oh, I want to be different. Like, when it's my turn, I'll be different. And I feel like Beth is applying that.
Yeah.
And I think even the realization when they were sitting at the table of, like, her saying, you know, I lost my job, like, I'm fine with it. And, like, I think she realized she unbecame, I guess, is the way we'll go. That's proper terminology.
That's great.
Of where she was like, no, I need to, like... I'm feeling the feelings of being a little girl again, because you know when you walk in your parents' house, you have the like nostalgia of like, oh, I'm five again, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually helped her this time of being like, I'm at this turning point. If I wouldn't have lost my job, then I wouldn't have been able to like re-realize all of this passion and be able to go back home and like tell Randall.
But we can't forget. Forget Zoe's push also. Like Zoe push her in the, from forever. She's been sassy from forever. I really love seeing young Zoe.
I love seeing young Zoe and Carol like clash sometimes. Yeah. That was hilarious. But I mean, at the end of the day, Carol did the best she could with what she knew how to do.
Yeah.
And so, especially in her time, you know, her father laughed at the fact of her going to school and, you know, wasting money on all that. So she had to develop this strong image, strong black woman image that she tried to instill with Beth. And, you know, Beth's just more like her father. But I think Carol did a great job at being there for her kids, not in the way that they wanted per se, but the way she knew how.
Yeah, I want to clarify. I wasn't saying at all that Carol was a bad mom. I'm just saying, like, the technique, like, the way my parents talked to me, they're old school. I get it. Like, their demographic, where they came from, their history, their reality. You know, my parents were refugees from Afghanistan, so they don't know the opportunities for females. Women over there don't go to school. I'm saying in terms of, like, how they come at it. Like, Beth is very, like, you know, she takes the back seat, where Randall's, like, the one that's, like, in the business. He, like, wants to open the door. He wants to ask the questions. So I just thought it was interesting how... You literally either become it or you learn from it. Or not learn from it, because there's nothing wrong with Carol's, the way she was parenting. You just learn that that's maybe not what you want to do when it's your turn to do it.
And I think the other thing, too, it's like also being able to see Zoe's side of Carol. Because she was like, listen, like, she was always my aunt mom or whatever she called her, like, you're my sister cousin or whatever she said, to where, like, I have a different perspective. Like, this is always 100% better than what I came out of. So it literally comes down to perspective as well, of like her caring so much that felt overbearing to Beth or Bethany was exactly what Zoe longed for. So it was just it was really nice to see the young kids interact with Carol, but also to see the older, like, sister cousins interact with them. Because we all have our own relationships with our parents. Even our siblings have different relationships with our parents.
Yeah.
Like, we all have different interactions with them. But there was one bit I wanted to hop on that you said, too, of, like, Randall being all up in it.
Yeah.
To pivot off of that, for her to have that moment in the car at the end with Randall and him saying the exact same words. I can't remember what they were.
Oh my gosh, what is it?
The exact same words that her dad said.
We never cared what anybody thought or something like
that.
Yeah, it's like her dad said it and then he said it.
Right.
I love
that. That was great. Yeah. The writers of This Is Us. I'm like, you guys had to bring that back around.
Those are goals, though.
So, that's amazing.
I want their relationship.
I know. It's so weird being a fan and going into the meetings and like, you know, during some of the tense and being like, I'm not happy. And I can't, I can't tell anybody that because they're not going to change the storyline.
but Sterling and his wife in real life remind me a lot of Sterling in the show. You obviously only see what they show you. I'm not saying that behind closed doors it's like that, but them at the award show, like he bows to her and she's just like, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you know, we talked about this before we got on camera that I've noticed, and I've interviewed Chris Sullivan, I've interviewed Justin Hartley. It's like you guys found the exact, like, who they are in real life is who they are.
Definitely Chris Sullivan. He's so Toby.
Toby. And then him and Justin, so the way they banter, like, on the carpet.
Yeah.
She jumped in behind Justin. He's like, I'm the good looking one. Like in the middle of someone else's interview. Like this, they have even the same relationship that they do on the show.
I've actually noticed this season, I think part of it's the writing, and I think I heard you all talking about it during the road trip from last episode, couple episodes, but like how they all sort of switched a little bit. But there's something about the sibling relationships that I'm starting to see like all kinds of new levels with because they've spent so much time together, and because I think the writers have heard them and are sort of mining their energies and helping bring that to a little bit to it. But I really credit like Dan and the other producers from the very beginning when Tiffany and Bernie were bringing them choices, not just seeing what they had in their head or what like looked right on the page or whatever, but to see the essence of a person and go, oh, I want to write to this.
Right.
This is a person where like their energy is something that I can write to forever. And they did an amazing job of putting that together and then being able to grow out from that. And I love that here we are in season 3 where everybody's dying to know more about Beth. And we had a Toby episode and we got to see Miguel's like other life.
Yeah.
And that it's not just about the big three and Jack and Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like their whole world. And then the kids and Tess. And like that they're all being written to and developed in a way that we get to go along the journey with them. Like just as a fan of the show.
Right.
I think they've done a beautiful job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even to see the entire ensemble at the SAG Awards after they had received the award, like, it was just like a big family all walking up there, like, watching them just, like, take care of each other. And you even showed us a picture of Sterling kissing.
Lyric was up on stage and was so overwhelmed. And he was holding her and kissing her forehead like Randall would kiss Deja's forehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, up on stage at the SAG Awards.
Yeah. So cute.
A beautiful, sweet moment. They really do. Like, going onto the set, it's a really beautiful place to work.
Mm.
I've worked on other sets that are lovely, but this is one of the most just pleasant experiences. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there. Everybody works hard and is so prepared and is so grateful to be there.
Nice.
That's when you know you have a good show, is that you guys, I mean, you not only cast for the show and the characters, but you hope that these people are good people and that they're all going to get along. And it just was like perfect divine timing.
They've got I mean, it's not like a written rule or anything, but there's a rule on set. Like, you show up and you work hard and you behave and nobody really suffers, you know, prima donna behavior. I don't think there has been any that I've heard of, but it would not fly.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on shows like that before where when you've got somebody like Dan at the top of the producing ladder and Milo on set who are so hardworking and so loving and so classy and so dedicated to every minute they are there, nobody else really gets to show up and be a jerk.
Yeah.
They're working this hard at it. Like, okay, I guess I need to do it too.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just sets a tone. And the gratitude on set is really beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, speaking of gratitude, I was at the For Your Consideration for This Is Us. And Milo was there. Mandy was there. Sterling was on like a screen. He had just done his movie. Every single time someone would ask, there was an order and she was asking questions to the cast. They threw all the kudos to the writers, the casting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the actors, they wouldn't take an ounce of credit. And I noticed that even hearing you talk, you're giving them all the credit. You're just like, they're so amazing, they're so this. it's like you guys all have this level of gratitude and appreciation that you guys know that everybody needs each other to kind of make this show. This is us.
Yeah.
And it perfectly leads into our tissue moment.
Tissue moment.
So for all of you guys that have not watched before, which I'm hoping that you have if you're on episode 13, but you know, if you haven't, hop back on to episode 1, then come back. But either way, we do our tissue moments where it's 1 to 5, 1 being a heartwarming, like, oh, cute, to 5, like, I was sobbing hysterically moment. And we'll do those real quick before we get to predictions. So I want to do... There are so many.
Three. Oh my gosh, she's on 3.
I mean, I wasn't there to watch you cry. Did you cry?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah,
she cried. Did.
4. 3.5.
3.5.
3.5.
Did you tape it?
No. Gosh, when she finds out that her dad's dying, and then, like, I'm sorry, but it's also not even just that. Not even just that, though. Not even just that. It's the montage of when they're flipping back and forth between, like, her... I'm sorry. This is just, like, so emotional when she comes down the stairs and is talking to the chair.
Yes.
And, like, it's so, flipping back and forth to that, like, moment of her, like, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get out. Where she's... where she just, like... I just know that feeling of, like... being so protective of your dad and being a daddy's girl. Like, I can only imagine that moment. And I think, like, they don't obviously tell us that, but they allude to that being her last moment of talking to her dad and not saying I love you or not saying anything to him. Just like...
Oh, it's okay. Well, it was that was technically mine.
Mine, no.
Thank you. I definitely related to that part because when my mom... found out she had cancer and you know, I just kind of, I handled it the same way, just kind of burying it, you know, focusing on other things and really trying to work hard to kind of make her happy so she could be happy while she's sick, you know, and it just, that whole montage and all that just really got me. I didn't cry like you did, but
I mean, he looked over and I was just
but
like,
I was almost there. And then, you know, when just Felicia with, and Beth had that talk. At the end there. That was heartwarming.
So 3.5?
3.5.
Okay, cool.
I'll make it 3. I'll put the half back. Obviously, I think we all decided it was the same scene because my mom too as well. Thankfully, she's a breast cancer survivor, so that hit home. Mm-hmm. But for me, I wouldn't say there was an exact moment in the show. It's kind of like just what I said earlier where you hear these quotes growing up and then it finally like clicks. Mm-hmm. Like that's what that meant. And it was the moment where when Beth looks back and she decides that she wants to go back, and it's the unbecoming moment where I see her having that realization of like releasing the ego, releasing the expectations, like I need to work at a corporate job. I need to do this. I need to do that. Mm-hmm. And just her going back to her core and unbecoming everything that has made her from Bethany to Beth. It's like now I see her going back to Bethany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was
right, my
moment.
We could keep going on and on. That montage of her dancing, the moment she runs into Randall. No, like, we have some. I'm gonna shut up.
I do want to say one thing though. I want to shout out to my mom because today is her 12 year anniversary of being cancer free.
Hey!
So, just
want to
say,
good
job, love you, mom.
Oh boy. Okay, I'm gonna give 4.
Oh. And I just cried on air and I didn't give myself a 4.
Because I bawled the whole episode. There wasn't one moment. Well, there was that moment, but I actually like the moment where Team Beth was like calling out her mom for. She's like, "Can we grieve? Can we talk about this? You just told me that my dad died. Can we take a moment?" And her mom was like, "No, go, get ready, do this." And I just thought, my grandma recently passed away, and I just haven't really had that time. I personally didn't give myself that time to grieve, and so I was just like. That was like her yelling to me, like, can't you just take a moment? Can you breathe? And so the whole episode got me, but that really got me. So
such a beautiful episode.
Oh, do you have tissues? You want to do 1 through 5?
I'm a 5.
Yeah. It's like, we'll throw them at
you. I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
And there were also a lot of moments that just like, not even so much crying, but just like scooped me out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and by the way, I forgot to mention how great Goran Visnjic was in the episode 2 is her dance instructor. But that moment
fantastic.
Where he... you know, felt terrible that she was back and that she found out, but get back to work. Like, that just gutted me, but not in a sad way, but it just, like, destroyed me for her.
Right.
But, yeah, I would say that, of course, the cancer scene, and Rachel handled that so brilliantly as Teen Beth. And then the unbecoming for me of Felicia or Carol, like how far she had to unbecome to say the things that she was saying to Beth, and how many layers she had to peel off. Like when she, you know, Beth started to talk and she said, no.
Yeah.
Let me go into admit, like, to know that she sucked all the air out of the room. Like, what a hard...
That's a lot.
That was... I was in the office, like, watching this and, like, trying to keep my cool, but I started calling it actually the Sterling tear. Like, at the exact moment that a tear is supposed to roll down my cheek.
It rolls.
Yeah. Down my face. And I'm like, please, nobody be looking over here right now. But that, her speech really got me.
Yeah.
Well, we have to wrap up, guys, but quick predictions. I think...
After Buzz TV predictions.
He's like, tell your daddy. Okay, All right. I think because we saw the dance montage and we saw Randall and Beth's relationship kind of rebuild, I don't think our future predictions of them being divorced is real.
I said that.
No,
I don't think so. I don't think it is. I think that it's actually like they will rebuild their bond, and it's just like that we don't. Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine.
I have to believe
you know something.
I know he's keeping like a poker face.
Oh my god, his face when you were talking was saying something. Yeah, and I can't figure it out. But you're good. I don't know if you were agreeing or disagreeing. It was like a confused
look. Got a poker face.
It was like a she has no idea.
Poker face.
Go ahead.
I have nothing. So you guys can go.
She's gonna be unbecoming more.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited to see Beth becoming a teacher. I'm excited to see her dive into her passion again. I'm interested to see how the economic value how that's gonna go. I'm all about it. Team Beth, Team Randall.
I have a prediction. Josh is gonna tell us what he knows that he was giving Candace the look about 2 minutes ago.
I think his headphones are broken, so thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you love this episode just as much as we did. And this episode of The After Show, because you have been absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great being a fan of you guys and the show and what I do.
Thank you.
Everyone where they can find you on social media?
On Twitter and Instagram at TXJoshINLA.
All right, perfect. So follow him. You can keep up with all the cool casting and all the cool pictures and all the cool things that you're doing all the time. And thanks so much for watching. As always, you can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Also tune in Thursday at 2 p.m. for an episode of Inside the Black Actors Studio.
And you can find me everywhere at Lena Nori.
You can find me everywhere at Paris Rose, Paris with two R's.
And we have one more, too, on Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
We're on another panel together.
We're on another panel.
One day at a time
one
as
day
well.
At a time.
Actually.
And that's why they're matching. Because they're having too much
time together.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yay! So we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you, Josh, for coming in.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.